This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, a conversation with How Come author Kathy Wallard about some of the more vexing questions of life, like, do camels' humps really store water? Also, a look at what research says about the connection between diet and cancer. Joining me in the studio right now, WVXU's Bill Reinhardt and Tana Weingartner. 75 southbound at Hopple reopened last night after the cleanup and initial investigation of Monday night's overpass collapse that killed one person and injured another. Bill and Tana are here with the latest on the investigation into what caused the collapse and its potential economic impact. Bill, it was originally expected that 75 southbound at Hopple wouldn't reopen until tonight at the earliest. So how were they able to get it open back up so quickly as they did?
A lot of people surprised by how quickly this has been rectified. ODOT among those surprised. Talked to Brian Cunningham, ODOT spokesman, just a little while ago. He says they were able to do their field review quicker than they thought. That meant they could get in and get the debris moved sooner than originally planned, and that didn't take as much time as they originally scheduled it for. Then the next step was to inspect the pavement for damage. The only damage they found was about a 2-foot by 2-foot hole. That was easily patched, according to Brian Cunningham. And as of 10 o'clock last night, traffic was flowing again.
Any idea how much debris they had to move, Bill?
That I don't know. It was originally estimated to be hundreds of tons of concrete and steel that fell on the interstate. And so the damage wasn't much. They were expecting they'd get all the debris out of there and the road would be a mess, but it wasn't. It held up rather well, at least on the surface. They say lots of times if something like this happens or there is suspected damage to a roadway, they'll do a visual inspection. They'll also perhaps do what's kind of a sonar scan. They'll do soundings and see if there's a destruction in there, if there's damage in there that can't be seen by the eye, and they didn't find anything like that in this case.
So they inspected the southbound lanes to make sure that those are safe. Any possibility the interstate's going to need to be closed again for more inspections or as part of this investigation?
No, they're not anticipating any kind of closures for that. However, they do have other closures scheduled for the next week that were already scheduled as they're doing the I-75 widening project through the Mill Valley. Those were all pushed back by a day, but they are going to be on schedule, and it doesn't look like this incident, this fatality incident, is really pushing the timetable off for its original schedule.
Where does the investigation stand at this point?
Well, I talked to the Occupational Safe and Healthy Health Administration today, and they say by law they have up to 6 months to finish their part of the investigation, and they expect it's going to take much of that time to conclude what happened, to see if there was safety violations going on, if someone was doing something they shouldn't have been doing, or if the company was following everything that they were supposed to and that this still happened. OSHA has inspectors out today talking to witnesses, reviewing the safety records of the contractor and talking to COCOSING, the contractor themselves, making sure they were following all the safety regulations.
Now, the Ohio Department of Transportation released a video of the collapse today. Have you looked at that?
I did, and you can't see a whole lot of it because the traffic camera is far south of the actual collapse, but if you watch the video, and it's on our website, WVXU.org, you look up in the upper left-hand corner, just within the first, say, 20 seconds of the video, the collapse happens. And there's lots of headlights coming into the camera, so that all obscures it, and it's nighttime. But you can see a little bit of the collapse, and you can see headlights heading south on 75, and then suddenly they stop. One car, the last car to make it through, my estimation is they just missed the collapse by probably a few feet. And as they were driving away, they had to have been looking in the rearview mirror, whoever that person was, thinking, what just happened behind me?
So it's amazing that not more people got hurt than did here.
There was a lot of traffic on I-75 that night. So, yeah, it's pretty astounding that more vehicles weren't involved in this, just one truck, a semi, that lost its engine compartment, essentially. The driver had minor injuries.
Have they released any preliminary indications of what might have caused this?
Other than gravity, no.
Okay. Now, has work resumed on the project at that interchange, and what exactly are they doing there?
Well, they were replacing the old off-ramp from northbound 75 to Hopple, and the collapse has actually sped things along. They weren't expecting to have that tied up until Thursday, maybe Friday, but now that's out of the way, and they are still working on that area. They're expect to have the entire project done at Hopple sometime next year.
Tana, you did some research on the economic impact of this section of interstate being closed. First off, talk about how heavily traveled is that part of 75?
That's pretty well traveled. It depends on whom you ask. The Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Council of Governments did a study last year. They said 133,000 vehicles per day. ODOT says 178,000. That's a 2009 number. So it's a lot, 133 to 178,000 vehicles every day through that stretch right under the Hopple Street interchange. And about 20 to 27,000 of those are commercial, so semi-trucks or commercial-grade vehicles. They're carrying everything from finished goods that are headed to stores to all the raw materials that make up all those finished goods that you purchase at the stores. So if you add all that up, all the stuff that goes into making those goods, you're talking about 3% of the nation's yearly gross domestic product.
Well, talk a little bit more about that. When you interviewed people, what were they saying about the potential economic impact of this closure, particularly if it had gone on longer?
Right. Yeah, we were thinking that it would be 48 hours rather than the 24 that it was. So I talked to the Ohio Trucking Association president, Tom Balzer, and he said, you know, there's a potential that shoppers could maybe see a financial impact, but he doubted it would be very much. And Mark Polasinski with OKI also agreed. You know, he said it's an immense impact on the flow of freight in our area, but he also cautioned, let's not get carried away. We're not looking at huge issues here.
So since this closure turned out to be not very long or not as long as expected, the likely effect is minimal.
Pretty minimal. You know, Tom Balzer with the Ohio Trucking Association said the real impact is additional fuel costs to the companies as the vehicles had to take these detours for so long. Drivers can only drive for so many hours, so that number would have been affected, which would affect, you know, their payrolls. And, maybe some deliveries didn't make it to consumers on time.
Bill and Tana, thanks for joining us this afternoon.